The epistle appointed to be read for this, the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God! How incomprehensible are his judgments, and how unsearchable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, who has been his counselor? Or who has first given to him that recompense should be made him? For from him and through him and unto him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all days, even unto the consummation of the world." Thus for this feast day's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, from the bulletin this morning, first of all, I certainly want to extend to each and all of the fathers our blessing, our prayer, and our felicitation, asking Almighty God that in all things the fathers are truly indeed imitators of Jesus Christ in all things. May you have a very wonderful, a very blessed, and a holy day today. Today, of course, is the Feast of the Most Blessed Trinity, and is perhaps the we say this all the time, but this is indeed the Feast of God today. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, one God. And therefore we should address ourselves most particularly this day to God the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Thursday of this coming week is a Feast of Corpus Christi, and is, of course, the feast of the year that recognizes and makes recompense, as best we can, to the Most Blessed Sacrament, the Most Blessed Eucharist. We all know how profane the Blessed Sacrament is, how the Blessed Eucharist is, and how much sacrilege is thrown at it, and how it is stomped under feet and everything else. On that day, I ask for your very best prayer of reparation for all the sins of the world, for all of the things that are done to hurt the Blessed Sacrament, to hurt the Blessed Eucharist, to hurt Jesus Christ. This is for the feast. Next Sunday is the solemnity. We observe the solemnity of the feast. During the week, of course, has always been the case, not everybody can observe or can be part of the ceremonies that are appropriate for this awesome day. So we solemnize it next Sunday. I want to say this about that. There could be no question, we're not talking about, there could be no question about the beauty of this occasion next Sunday. It's always beautiful. It's always heartwarming. It is always lovely. And we all always like it very much. It's easy to make it beautiful because the occasion itself is so awesomely beautiful. My dear people, please do not come here next week for the sake of the beauty or for the sake of the pageantry. Please don't. Come here rather next week for reparation, for our own sins and for the sins of anybody throughout the world, whoever they may be and wherever they may be. It of course will be, as it usually is, a rather warm day, may even a hot day. And because of its heat, or because of the weather, it may be a bit difficult. Accept this as a penance and offer it up to Almighty God as a penance for our own sins. And we all have a debt to pay, whoever we are, and for the sins of those elsewhere who do not know how to or even care to pay for the debt of their sin. Let it be a day of reparation, a day of penance, a day of special prayer, a day of giving special honor and glory to the most unbelievably awesome mystery that this earth contains. I ask you to keep this particularly in your hearts for this reason next Sunday. Those of you that are participating in any of the ceremony next week, please pray that Almighty God will give you all the graces you need to make it a solemn occasion, not for our benefit or your benefit, but for His benefit. Try to get here a little earlier than usual, so that the usual instructions can be given out and everybody will know where everybody is supposed to be. There have been some changes because of last minute rearrangements of people's schedules. There have been some rearranging, there has been some rearranging of the assignments. So I ask you, please, to read over the assignments again and make sure that your name, some of you, your name has been moved around a bit. So please pay attention to the change that has been made. I don't think there's anything else that needs to be brought out from the bulletin this morning. However, as usual this morning, we will recite the Athanasian Creed. It's on the last page of today's bulletin. And everyone participate in this recitation. Let us be certain that we ask for the grace that what we say and repeat in this creed be not relegated to simply another devotion. This is not a devotion. It is a proclamation of what we believe in. It is a proclamation of what we must believe in. It is a proclamation of what we will do in order to protect what we believe in. And therefore, we again, in this case, as in all cases, we must ask for the grace of understanding. We must ask for the grace of knowledge, that we will have in our hearts what we profess to believe in. So, my dear people, if you will all kindly kneel. And we will all recite together. We begin together. Whosoever will be saved, before all things, it is necessary that we hold the Catholic faith, which faith, except everyone do keep whole and undefiled, without doubt we shall perish everlastingly. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons, nor dividing the substance. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Ghost. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost is all one. The glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Ghost. The Father uncreate, the Son uncreate, and the Holy Ghost uncreate. The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Ghost incomprehensible. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Ghost eternal. And yet they are not three eternals, but one eternal. And also there are not three incomprehensibles, nor three uncreated, but one uncreated, and one incomprehensible. So likewise, the Father is almighty, the Son is almighty, and the Holy Ghost is almighty. And yet they are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God. And yet they are not three gods, but one God. So likewise, the Father is Lord, the Son Lord, and the Holy Ghost Lord. And yet not three lords, but one Lord. For like as the Lord, to acknowledge every person by himself to be God and Lord, so are we forbidden by the Catholic religion to say, there be three gods or three lords. The Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten. The Son is of the Father alone, not created, but begotten. The Holy Ghost is of the Father and of the Son, neither made, nor created, nor begotten, but proceeding. So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Ghost, not three Holy Ghosts. And in this Trinity, none is before or after other. None is greater or less than another. But the whole three persons are co-eternal together and co-equal, so that in all things, as is aforesaid, the unity in Trinity and the Trinity in unity is to be worshipped. He, therefore, that will be saved must thus think of the Trinity. Furthermore, it is necessary to everlasting salvation that he also believe rightly the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man, God of the substance of the Father, but before the worlds, and man of the substance of his mother, born in the world, perfect God and perfect man, of a reasonable soul and human flesh subsisting, equal to the Father as touching his Godhead, and inferior to the Father as touching his manhood, who although he be God and man, yet he is not two, but one Christ. One, not by conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by taking of the manhood unto God. One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person. For as the reasonable soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He sitteth on the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he shall come, judge the quick and the dead, at whose coming all men shall rise again with their bodies, and shall give account for their own works. And they that have done good shall go into life everlasting, and they that have done evil into everlasting fire. This is the Catholic faith, which except a man believe faithfully, he cannot be saved. And now with